Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Quality. This is episode 115. It's Friday, the 5th of December, 2025. And thank you to our listeners joining us live right now and to our podcast listeners. Appreciate you being here with us today. This is a ministry testing event for those joining along live. So the code of conduct is in place if you're joining us in the audience chat and also if you join us on stage a little bit later. My name is Simon Tomes, Community Lead at Ministry of Testing, and I'm your host today, co-hosting with Natalia Burmai. Natalia, how are you doing?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Simon. Yeah, I'm very well. Happy Friday to everyone. Thanks for joining and spending this hour with us and having quality chat. Really appreciate this moment with everyone in the community.
Yeah, totally. It's always nice to gather on a Friday, and under the assumption that's a typical end of week for most folks, that of course that might be different parts of the world, but for those who can make it today, it's awesome for you to be here. So we were thinking, there's lots going on, but one of the things that we're excited about is we are soon to launch a new on-demand course. It's called Quality Coaching Essentials. We're hoping to go live with that next week or perhaps the week after. And it's awesome. I've had the privilege and honor of reviewing it this week. I've got a couple more lessons to go, but it is wonderful. So we were thinking, you know what, let's explore this as a topic. Quality coaching is a big topic. It's a hot topic, and it's important for us to go a little bit deeper into it and just have a conversation about it, what it means, how people are using it, how it impacts your role and the people that you work with, some tools, techniques, methodologies, all that good stuff. So we can get into that. And then soon we would love to invite people up onto stage and we can ask some questions and get your take on things and also share what you've been up to with This Week in Quality. Before we dive into all of that, Nat, is there anything in your week in quality that you'd like to share today?
Yes, my week was quite interesting. I feel like the end of year also made our application system quite tired, so we were failing more than usual. I hope no one mentions to you from my company.
Oh, really? Oh, yikes.
Well, I think it's all about timing, and everyone wants to make the most of the year, right, and do the best. So sometimes systems respond differently to us, what we ask them to do. Yeah, so there was a little bit of support on that side, but I think it was great thinking about next year and reflecting on this year. I'm sure many people having performance reviews and as well looking back and having those reflections. That's great. And understanding, wow, I actually did a lot this year, because if you look at the timing of a half a year or year, you can really see the difference. And I hope people really enjoy that moment, like impact and value they bring in their roles. Yeah, and a bit like thinking about next year, what you want to build, improve, what's our priorities and how we make that happen, I guess, this time of the year. But it was great. It's always diverse. Like, yes.
I got it. It is that time of year, isn't it, for sure? And it's good to hear your planning for 2026. I guess I'm starting to connect more with some of our professional team members, and we'll soon be asking the question, what are your learning goals for 2026? And how can the Motiverse as a community, as a product and service, serve you? Because there's much to be done, right? And there's much to learn, and there's much to stay on top of. And many things to do to inspire each other in the community. So I think, yeah, always a helpful reflection point when we get to the year end, that's for sure. Talking of things that are going live and thinking ahead towards 2026, for those following along in the chat, you might have spotted from Rosie Sherry that we have, well, she said the following in the comments. Did you hear we killed the like button? News item now on the Motiverse homepage. Go test out the thanks button. Well, here we go. So for folks following along live, I will just post a link to this wonderful news item that has gone live. So yeah, very exciting week to allow folks to share thanks, to share their gratitude for many things that you can find across ministryoftesting.com. This could be an article, it could be a talk, it could be a memory post, it could be a meme, all sorts of stuff out there. Ironically, the one thing you can't say thanks for is an episode of This Week in Quality, but that's something that we need to work on over the coming weeks. So we will add that into the specification at some point. But for those places where you can share thanks, it's awesome, right? Because when you click it, the creator of that piece, they earn a star, and it's your way of saying you read it, you learned, or you appreciated it. The creators can see that their work matters whilst also being able to directly connect with you. What's more, you also earn a star when you thank someone. And you might be thinking like, well, why do I get a star for thanking someone? Well, it's because it's part of your learning journey. It's a way of seeing that you are growing, participating, and learning. And we believe everyday interactions and learning matters. And now it becomes visible. So it's like a two-way learning experience. So yeah, we're really excited for this one. And there's going to be many more ways for people to earn stars. Probably within the next 2 weeks, we're going to launch a whole load of more features that allow people to earn stars for showing up and doing things in the Motiverse. So very excited for that. And these stars add up, right? They add onto your profile. It's a way of demonstrating that you're participating and that you are really investing in your learning and development, and the learning and development as a community and as a craft that we're moving things forward. So yeah, it's very exciting. Good stuff. Oh, and for those who haven't seen it, when you press the button, there's a nice little surprise when you press the button. You might have seen it already, but if you haven't, I won't ruin that surprise for you.
I love that thing. Like anywhere that happens, this surprise where I am using the systems online. I don't know why it gives me so much joy. Like, yeah, I wonder who invented. I need to Google to who invented that thing.
Yeah. I can send you a link to Natalia. We've got the JavaScript. But yes. And there's, yeah, a few comments coming through on the chat that I think we should call out. So Judy Mosley, woohoo. Love the thanks button. Like means nothing to me anymore in my perspective anyway. Oh, good on you for sharing that, Judy. Appreciate you being honest. Claire Norman thanked. Lovely stuff. Thank you, Claire. Rosie Sherry shares, this is the future of learning. It's all part of a system. Yeah, absolutely. Gary Hawkes, like has become a reminder that you've read something. So I agree, Judy. Thanks means something now. And Rosie shares, let's show the world what a learning community looks like. Indeed. And yeah, sorry you need to leave, Yulia Sharabi, but thanks for joining. Please do come back to another episode, or indeed come back to this as a podcast. Great stuff. Well, Natalia, shall we jump into some things related to quality coaching? What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do that. This is why we're here today. One of the reasons, of course. Right? Yeah. And speaking of Yulia Sharabi, I think she asked on Slack community, like, what is a quality coaching? And I will confess that at that moment, my brain couldn't pull out any sentence to explain it. But I was thinking, like, definitely, we've got some glossaries. Definitely, there are many things on the site. Yeah, and I was not wrong. On the glossary, there is a really nice definition or a couple of bullet points. Because really, what quality coaching means could mean many things, right? But it's mostly like changing teams, organizational culture to promote shared ownership of quality. It's either you do directly on a role, like I know Claire Norman does, or you do as a part of your role or as a part of your leadership toolkit and personality, right? So it could mean many kind of moments and shapes. But yeah, please do check out as well resources on the side that you can learn. And it was great to put that kind of definition into my head. So when someone asked me next day, even in my company, I know already what to say. Yeah, that was a great one.
Totally. Yeah, there's something powerful about the glossary and a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for, like behind the curtain or behind the scenes. So when myself and Rosie, when we review an on-demand course or we're reviewing a certificate, so at the moment we're also reviewing the software quality engineering certificate, We just reviewed module 2 and it is freaking awesome, to put it bluntly. We will see things that people say like, oh, there you go, that has to go on the glossary. So we will then go and add it to the glossary as another definition. There may already be several definitions for a particular term, but we'll go at it and we will link to that person and we will quote the source where it's come from. And it's just a way of the power of the glossary, again, is being able to see things from different perspectives of what people are sharing. Let's take quality coaching, for example. Two great definitions from Claire and Kulasa. I'll read them out for people listening who aren't following along online. So Claire Norman says, my goal as a quality coach is to be the person who is the cause of good testing and quality practices in my team without doing much of the testing by myself. So I work as an embedded tester in a team where I try to advocate for early and continuous testing. It's wonderful. Kulas Angeles shares, quality coaching is about partnering with individuals and teams to grow a culture where excellence, learning, and collaboration can go hand in hand so that teams can prevent bugs from occurring and learn how to best address them if they have occurred. So two different like perspectives, right? Yet connected, yeah, there's different angles and kind of interpretations of what it means when we say the word quality coaching. Yeah, it's very cool. And if you are listening live right now, please do head to that glossary page. If you are a quality coach or if you work with quality coaches and you're like, we could come up with our own definition of quality coaching. Just go for it, right? If you are a professional member, you can add that definition. So the more definitions we have on the site, the better. This increases our knowledge and learning. And we can question stuff. We can have healthy debates about things as well. But it helps when it comes to debating terminology, which I know historically can sometimes get everyone in a bit of a tiz and a sticky mess, whereas the glossary is there to diffuse that and say, look, everyone can share their thoughts and opinions and it's okay if we disagree with each other. Good stuff. Natalia, I've got some questions that have come out of the Quality Coaching Essentials on-demand course. And I wondered if I asked yourself, and I also put it in the chat. And again, there is no right or wrong answer. It's just putting it out there to start a conversation and people can share their thoughts in the audience chat. And they can also come and join us on stage. How does that sound, Natalia, if I fire a question into the audience?
Yeah, let's do that. Absolutely allow it. I haven't seen the questions.
I know. This is like on the spot.
It's on the spot. So there is a quality in here. So yeah, let's go and see, brainstorm, add ideas. Yeah. And then I hope we have more people on the stage so we can expand or hear what they're up to in quality space, coaching space. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love this one from Anne-Marie Charette. So Anne-Marie is part of the on-demand course. Wonderful talk. Like covers so much stuff. But this question came through. So the question is this: what is situational quality coaching as proposed by Anne-Marie Charette? Let me frantically type that into the chat. So what is situational quality coaching as proposed by...
While Simon is thinking, is writing, I'm thinking.
And for folks, if you have some thoughts as well, please do jump on in on the chat. And also, if you want to come up on stage and explore that as a question, then we'd very much welcome that. So just go for it, right? Again, there is no right or wrong answer. It's just your interpretation of what does really the word situational mean when it comes to quality coaching. I guess is another way of framing it. Yeah, let us know what you think. Any initial thoughts, Natalia?
I would start and heavily lean on the word situational, because is it possible like differentiate in a moment? I wonder if it's something that you're in a team or you have a discussion or you're in a planning session or you debug something. That's your situation. You're in a moment and you use your coaching skills to ask the right question and direct the team to have a solution that serves them best. That would be my high-level idea. And that would be either you use your testing skills and apply the coaching questions, techniques, or debugging, things like that. Yeah, I would be curious to hear people's thoughts on that. maybe Simon has a definition of somewhere. Oh yeah, that would be my initial thought.
I love it. I love you thinking, Natalia. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Some folks sharing in the chat. So we have Gary Hawks. Thank you, Gary, for sharing. It's good to see you joining us live. Gary says the following: I suppose every situation is unique, so the coaching will have to adapt to each situation. In other words, there is no cookie cutter coaching template. Oh, I love it. I love that line. I wonder, my mind instantly goes to a meme on that one, Gary. I don't know why, but it's like the idea of a cookie cutter coaching template is a meme. And it's just really what is on the meme is just really unhelpful. That would be a fun one to put out there if you get the chance, Gary. Claire Norman shares, for me, it's the classic, it depends. Yes, very much. So quality coaching in one team means very different things to another team, depending on their context, team bondness, etc. Yeah, I love that, Claire. Absolutely. And a comment from Judy Mosley. Great to see you here, Judy. It sounds like a type of coaching that happens on the fly versus a planned time with someone. Oh, yeah, totally. Well, I can share the kind of response that I've got back from that question. It is the following. So let me ask the question again. So what is situational quality coaching as proposed by Anne-Marie Charette? It is an approach that adapts coaching style based on two factors of a team, their ability, in brackets, skill, and their motivation. I'll share that one again. It is an approach that adapts coaching style based on two factors of a team, their ability, their skill, and their motivation. Oh, that's really interesting. And just to follow up on that, it's saying here, like, for a team with high ability but low motivation, what would a situational quality coaching suggest to focus on? And it says the coach should focus on organizational barriers, speak to leadership to understand priorities, and work outside the team to create space for them. And when a team has high motivation but low ability, according to this, the most effective approach is a more pure form of coaching involving workshops, facilitation, and helping the team try new things that they are eager to learn. Yeah, that's cool. I like the difference, or the different scales of ability versus motivation, or having them as two axes on a chart. Well, some people say motivation, but as Rosie Sherry is pointing out in the chat, motivation, it's a word we use internally. What are people's motivation? I do like that one. But yeah, any thoughts on that, Natalia, before we open it up to the audience?
My thought is I need to read the book from Anne-Marie Charette. I think if it's like quality coaching, it makes total sense, because there is no a situation when your team faces just one single challenge, right? And I've been in an organization where you have a highly capable team, but you have so much organizational friction that you're not able to use all potential of your team, right? And you're not achieving high performance, and other way around as well, right? So you've got pretty good environmental, but the skills is not where it should be. So it's easier to be to tackle because you got a training. So it's basically teaching like harder skills, technical skills is more straightforward. Whereas like organizational motivation, you know, very straightforward, always squiggly, right? Motivation is a very like personal thing, and then organization. Yeah, makes sense. And sometimes we think like, oh, if we use better tool or if we move to cooler technology, we're gonna do much, much better. But actually, are we, if our team is not motivated enough? So yeah.
I love it. Great insights and reflections, Natalia. Thank you for sharing. Good stuff. Okay, I'm doing a quick time check. So we're coming up to about halfway. So I think, yeah, it'd be a good time to get some people up on stage. So we're very keen to hear if you are in the audience. And I know there's a few folks out there listening in right now who are quality coaches. They live and breathe it and have done for a while and have some thoughts to share. But certainly you'd be very interested to hear some of the challenges you're facing right now, some of the things you've been learning recently that have supported you in your role and the colleagues that you're working with. So yeah, if you are up for joining us, do, if you're following along live, do look out for the button that says join the stage queue. You'll be taken to another tab. So close the one you've come from, enable all the permissions to say, yes, I can speak and all of that stuff. Keep your camera off and then you can join us up on stage. We'll see a little notification on our side and we can bring you up onto stage. So just keep an eye out for that. Oh, I see Claire Norman is off stage. This is wonderful. So Claire, if you can hear us, I'm going to press the button to bring you up on stage.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can hear you loud and clear, Claire. How you been? How's your weekend quality been?
It's been most excellent. Thank you.
Lovely.
I'm winning.
Yes. I don't know if I have a button to do loads of confetti on the screen. Hopefully I can quickly do that. But if I could, I would.
Yeah, we need one. Done it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're putting a feature request. Where's that confetti button? We've got one on the Motiverse now. Oh, I've given away the secret. But anyway, so Claire, yeah, is there anything on your mind that you would like to share that's been happening in your world when it comes to quality coaching?
Well, I think in relation to the situational coaching, the tangent of motivation is a really interesting one, because I think it can be quite easy sometimes to assume that teams have low motivation, but actually they've just got so many competing priorities that maybe their reason for not doing as much quality related activities is because they're expected to deliver features very quickly, or they just don't have the resource for it. So I think that's really important to understand, independently of their skills and abilities, because that's the unlock, the motivation. If you can crack that, if you can understand why that motivation is low, then everything else will fall into place, because that's the mindset bit that you need to figure out.
I love that. It's fascinating, isn't it? It's like, yeah, that point where the team's up for it and they're like, yeah, let's go, we can deliver good stuff, and they care. Like, there's often, we keep banging on about it in issue testing, like quality is care, and it's other people don't care. But as soon as there's that tipping point where the levels of care sort of start to slip away, because as you say, they feel too much pressure, there's too much going on, there's too many competing priorities, just all that care just is squandered. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for. Care can be squandered when that happens. So given your experiences, what sort of things have you seen that have helped people manage those expectations with others so they can continue to care, continue to feel motivated when they are feeling lots of pressure and conflicting priorities?
Well, I think from the developer or the engineering perspective, they don't want to ship bad work because they do care. It is there. It's just maybe they don't have the time for it. Yeah, so for them, it's easier to stick with. I think where a quality coach can really help is facilitating the conversation between developers and either product or stakeholders as you move out of your circle of control with your team, your direct team, and then the stakeholders that touch your team, and then further out from that, perhaps leadership within your company. I think a quality coach can be really instrumental in communicating developers' concerns about lack of time or headspace for quality-based activities, and help communicate why this is important. Because if they're feeling the pressure already, there's no way they have time for trying to maintain these relationships as well. It's just, yeah, it's so difficult. And I see the quality coach role now is, well, I think testing was always a bridge-building role, but the quality coach role is even more so. We're building bridges across roles, across cultures, across teams, and I think that will continue to be instrumental in teams' success.
Oh, Talia, please go for it.
No, that's great. In terms of like what you also said about motivation, you made me think differently as well. And it's true in majority of spaces I worked with, and I'm sure people working with, there's not enough time and space to think about quality. because time to market is really precious. I wonder, Claire, from your perspective, because if I look at the kind of roles out there, either hiring or in the company, you don't see many quality coaches either directly in a company or hiring. How do you think, from perspective of companies, do they need like their role but just don't realize it is quality coaching, because we all am into the quality assurance testing world, and we, majority of companies, again, that's my assumption, we think that, okay, if you have more tests, we will fix our quality. Or you think it is coming, but just slowly and kind of transition? How do you see this role, I wonder, like on the market, and like how is it in your company where you as a quality coach right away, or is it transition? Because I would be curious how it looks like.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely a mixture of the things that you referenced there. So I think we're still in a transition period because the job title of quality coach is still relatively new. People are still learning about it, still wanting to figure out what exactly this is. I was hired as a quality coach almost 3 years ago to the day, actually. And we had a quality lead in our organization that understood what the quality coach role was and wanted that to be deployed across all of the teams that we have in our company. So for me, it was very easy to come in as a quality coach because the buy-in from leadership was already there. But I think for other companies, so when you hire for a role, right, you put a job out there and you say, we need this person, you're telling people that you think you've already solved the problem, right? So you're saying, we need a tester because we've got a load of bugs in production, or because our team is really struggling with some particular software, right? So your interpretation of that problem is to hire this particular person. And maybe what we need to do a little bit more of is communicate what the problem is that we're trying to solve by hiring that person. And yeah, figuring that out a little bit more, how we can communicate the value of a quality coach, because it is still relatively new for our industry, I think.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, I would love to see more roles in terms of, this is the problem, we're not really sure how to solve it, we'd love you to help us out, figure out, hopefully we'll see more, either it's a quality coaching or continuous testing quality or anything else that will be working better with AI and things like that. Yeah,
well, yeah,
we get it.
The more we talk about it, the more they recognize, oh, that sounds really good, I want one of them in my company. Yeah, we just need to talk about it more.
Right. Oh, you made me think about, like, would you mind sharing a couple of ideas how you communicate your role to the company, or like whether there is any kind of space you talk or you share what you're learning, or like how, like, because I think the challenge would be what I see from coaching and things like that roles, even like Scrum Master. How do you show the impact and value, right? Because it would be something not very straightforward to measure. Maybe you have an idea. So what's your kind of strategies you talk about or share to your team leadership? How does it look like for you?
So I will come back to you with a better answer because my mind is fizzing right now. But off the top of my head, and this will be the last question I answer because I can see Gary is here as well. I was at a conference last week and somebody said, measuring the value of a quality specialist, whatever your job title, can be quite tricky because the value of what you do is reflected in the work of other people. So if the team is succeeding, then you can take some credit for that as well, because you're an enabler. There's no ticket that you can point to say, I've done this today and that has contributed. You're omnipresent, you're everywhere, right? There's that side of it. And then for me, in terms of the communication, how do I communicate value? Again, it depends on who I'm talking to. So if it's a product person, I'm going to be looking at customer-based analytics, Google Analytics, that type of thing, and say, this experiment that we conducted here has led to increased traffic over here. Or if I'm talking to a developer, it might be that really ratty bit of code over there that you used to hate dealing with. It's a lot better now because we've created the space for you to be able to refactor and change things. And that's an improvement in quality, right? There are so many different ways that you can look at how you're improving things. So yeah, find out what matters to the person that you're talking to and frame it in that way.
Thank you so much, Clara. Yeah, thanks for your insight. That makes sense. That's the challenge, I think, but it is possible. Thank you, Claire. Gary, how are you doing today?
Hey, yeah, I'm good. I have to say, everything Claire was saying is, my mind's fizzing now, because like I say, there's so many influences on how the right approach to coaching. It's going to be so different everywhere, and situational, organizational. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things so we don't have a coaching role. And I think the first kind of like coaching problem is one that I get. I think sometimes terminology is only as good as the person that's listening to it. If they don't understand the terminology, like I say, I will go to, like, for example, quality engineering. I could go to my leaders and hammer home what quality engineering is and what it means and stuff like that. That's going to get nowhere. But if I go to them and say, I think we should be testing earlier, I think we should be looking at things, I think we should be paying more attention to the requirements that we're writing before we start developing it and testing it, that's going to hold more weight, and I'm going to get their attention. So the terminology of, like, when you're coaching, whoever you're coaching, is going to be unique to your situation. The two situations I can pull out that I've actively been involved in, like I said, I'm not a coach, I'm just a lead. And I think our situation where this coaching role has become more and more prominent is, I've been at my organization for 7 years. It grew from like a team of like two quality engineers to 12. And now it's back down to 4. And obviously the rest of the organization has shrunk a bit as well along with it. But now it's more important for everyone else. We haven't got the numbers anymore to cover all the areas of quality. So now it's more and more important that everyone takes more notice and everyone does more work around quality. But as has been mentioned already, is that developers, product managers all feel they've got enough things to do that they're aligning quality to testing, and I don't have time to test. And it's not the case. So the two things I've done is, we had a project that was a proof of concept, and the product manager was writing these stories, and I was literally watching them and analyzing them as soon as they were written. And then I was giving all the feedback, and I produced, and I shared it on the cloud and on a memory as well, a helper AI prompt for them to evaluate their own stories to look from a quality perspective. And the acceptance criteria, what are they missing, et cetera. So I've pushed up the chain to say, yeah, you do need to be worrying about quality when you're writing these stories. Don't just write it, have a chat with the developer, they'll understand it, and then expect us to understand it when it comes to us. Because we're going to ask things that are far bigger than just testing it. We're going to ask why you need it. And I want to get those questions hammered out right before we worry about stuff. And that's been really powerful. One situation. The other situation, which we did yesterday, I'm going to big you up again, Simon. It's the same thing on this PQIP analysis that we were doing from an exploratory test. So again, we got to like a proof of concept that we wanted to show customers. So we got to, if you like, a 0.1 version. And I suggested to the entire team, normally it would just be the QA team that did this. But I said, no, we're going to have everyone in there. We're going to be in a room. We're going to have a PQIP sheet, and the devs, the product managers, we're going to have a time box hour session. Let's get in there and use this thing as we think it will be used. And we went through this in an hour. The devs were fantastic. They were like filling tons of stuff in. We were chatting to them about the things that we were noticing, the product managers. And it really was a bonding experience around quality. Of everyone talking to like force that activity where everyone's talking about quality in the room. I think that was really powerful. And the amount of observations we got out that documented, we have obviously now, given the product manager's a problem because there's a massive sheep of ideas and problems and questions, but quite a bit of praise as well. So everyone feels appreciated with it. Yeah, and that's proved really powerful. So it's these kind of, I think it's the chipping. For me, the sort of coaching is chipping away at the quality problem and chipping away at the different areas to make them realize, yeah, you may feel you don't have the time, but you do. And you can make the time. So, yeah, and I think those are the kind of activities that can bear a lot of fruit, I think. Yeah, that's my kind of initial thoughts on it.
Thank you for sharing, Gary. Ah, so much insight in there. Makes me thinking about the Quality Coaching Essentials course, Callum Akehurst Ryan making predictions about the future of testing role, the role of testing in relation to quality coaching, saying that he predicts a move towards testing generalists who can sell ideas, talk confidently about different testing types and help engineers implement them. Feels connected to what you were sharing there, Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Claire, feel free, if you want to jump in and share some thoughts or reflections about what Gary shared, then feel free to go for it.
Got a fizzy mind again.
This episode, if it doesn't have the term fizzy mind in the title for the podcast, then I don't know what's going on. Yes.
I feel a lean coffee coming on.
Gary, I'm so glad that you shared that. I literally... Yes. 15 minutes ago in my head, I was like, must mention lean coffee. We follow. And if Rosie is listening right now, she's setting up the lean coffees at the moment and hosting them. We've got a couple of really good ones. We absolutely need a lean coffee for quality coaching. And I think not just one, but we can keep doing it over time. To your point, Claire, where we need to keep having these conversations. We need to keep talking about this and demonstrating real value and how we can amplify the role of quality coaching in the quality as care space, then yeah, this is a good thing. Claire, yeah, please do jump on it.
I think one of your points, Gary, around whatever it was that you worked on yesterday or this week, I think about getting other people in your team to think about what are the quality problems is a really nice way of proving your value, I suppose, a little bit, because as testers, we would perhaps go in sort of all guns blazing. I'm going to get my best bug hunting hat on. I'm going to break everything. But now, if we tried to employ that same mindset and we said, you need to test for these things, nobody likes being told what to do, right? The idea of sourcing what the team thinks are their quality problems, and then you being an enabler as a coach to say, well, here's some ideas of how you can improve that, you're going to get much better results that way rather than imposing what you think is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of my kind of like things I've learned from managing in general is don't tell people what to do.
They hate it.
Yeah. So tell them what to achieve, where we're going, but give the creativity and the responsibility to them and give them the problem. So give them something to think about and then they'll come up with the ideas. If you tell people what to do, they take no responsibility for it. To some degree, quite rightly.
For me, quality coaching is also powerful because I hear very often this myth that people with like QAs have some particular wired brain, which is true. Like you think differently, you train your brain think differently. But to me, it's like showing the team how they can also think that way or similar way, how they can also see edge cases, corner cases as well. I think it's also teachable skill, right? And also like showing team how you can ask like different question or look beyond your ADE and your Jira tickets, right? So for me, they're like, oh yeah, that I just figure out myself while just like talking to you, or I just thought like, yes, we could try this. So for me, it's demystifying that myth as well, that when I say like, oh, QAs, they know what to do and I have to test developers, like they can't test their own code. Of course they can. Of course they could, and you just need to guide them a little bit how they can achieve that. So for me, that's powerful. And people are like, oh, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing I, especially from this session that we did yesterday, is before we started, as I said, particularly to the devs, I don't want you to worry about what you've worked on. I want you to take a step back and look at the whole thing. And then, so say what you think of the whole thing. Say what you think the customer's going to get out of this problem. What business problem are we going to solve from this? And it's thinking that they don't do, because they get the ticket, they get told, they get, this is what we need to develop, this is the feature, they develop that feature, they will do their own testing on that feature. We're pretty good, as in, we'll always get working code, but we don't often, well, we still say don't often, but if we're going to have a problem, it's not working right. And yeah, so that really was the coaching element for them to, and I think there was, like I say, in that session yesterday, some eureka moments from some of the developers of coming out of that silo in their mind of just working on, like you said, working on Jira tickets and getting my thing, knocking that out, right? That's done, I'll move on to the next one, is trying to really appreciate the whole rather than the whole and the sum of the parts. Yeah.
That's so cool, Gary. It's like the that role of quality coaching is a tool or a catalyst for zooming out. There's something very powerful about that, particularly if we join that up to the world of systems thinking, like it really is systems thinking, and, you know, join that to quality as care. I think when we are able to zoom out as well as zoom in, of course, got to go both directions or both roundabout ways, the roller coaster we go up and down when it comes to zooming in, zooming out, it's really powerful.
And there comes your fizzy minds.
And yes, there it is. That's the outcome. Fizzy minds all around. Yeah, definitely. And I can speak from an experience this week. So myself and Andrew, our developer here at Ministry of Testing, we were pairing up on the new thanks feature and we zoomed right in, but we had to zoom out at one point and think about the risks and what are the challenges of introducing a system where people could, they could game the system, and we needed to think about that and put in defenses accordingly. And it came from zooming out that we were thinking like that and connecting it to the bigger picture of our community algorithm and what it means for the rest of the community. While we may not have got it completely right, and we will find out, we certainly tried our best to zoom out and think in systems and how it's all connected to everything else that we're up to as Ministry of Testing.
I've got a little story on that, which ties in quite nicely to Natalia's first question about how you measure your value. So I joined an ensemble with my team, and there were three developers already in there. Two of them were highly zoomed in, so I refer to it as they're really in the weeds. All they can see is letters in front of them. They don't even know what ticket they're working on. They're so close to it. And the third developer is just surveying the land. And these two devs are so in the weeds that they are now starting to develop outside of the scope of the ticket. So I'm sat there listening along thinking, I wonder if they know that they need to zoom out again and just remember how far this ticket goes. When this third developer pipes up and goes, I don't think we need to work on this now. It's outside of the scope of the ticket. And I thought, my work here is done. Excellent. That's such a cool measure of my success that I've encouraged a developer to think about things holistically. And I didn't need to be in that ensemble anymore. So I said, I'm off. See you later. My work here is done.
That's awesome. Love it. I love it. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's very nice. Thank you for sharing, because sometimes you might not see that spreading, that mindset is the value, is the your success story, right? So if you can make your team thinking like you, you can do either go to another team and spread that thinking, or you can do some other cool stuff, right? So you scale yourself. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Great. Okay, folks, well, I'm doing a quick time check. We've got a few more minutes before we wrap up today's This Week in Quality, but this is sparking more conversations, right? More conversations and actions to be had off the back of this. So, yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving the conversation up on stage and also some activity happening in the chat. I could see Judy Mosley shares that every time someone says Fizzy Mimes, My Little Soda Pop by K-pop Demon Hunters sounds off in my head. I've not heard that song before, Judy. I wonder how that goes. I joke, of course. It is often played in my household. Yeah, indeed. It definitely does. I mean, there's got to be a meme off the back of this. I think, yeah, as Rosie Sherry shares, Fizzy Mimes for the glossary. Absolutely. We should get that added to the glossary and we can add our own definitions of what that means. I love it. That's a great idea. Good stuff. Well, Claire and Gary and Natalia, any final thoughts before we sign off today's session and wrap things up? Claire, I was probably asking three of you at once to wrap up is probably not good hosting. So Claire, if you have a final thought that you want to share with the audience, please do go for it.
Come back to me last. I'm a processor. I need a thing.
Okay. I got you. Gary, if you'd like to share any final thoughts before we finish today.
Yeah, I suppose the interesting, what I'd like to see more of or hear more about is obviously Claire's a quality coach. And I've never seen a role advertised for one. I've never seen, I think like Natalia was saying this as well, I can't ever see my organization recruiting one. So this is the thing of like going back to terminology is if I go to my organization and say, you need a quality coach. It's like, so my organization is like, don't tell them that. Just do it. Just learn it, learn some of it, do some of it, learn some of it, do some of it, and then just focus on the outcomes, I think. Yeah, but I'd love to know how a real role like Claire's is actually working, supported, and how growing, really. Obviously, we've got 2 minutes, so I can guess that Claire isn't going to have time to say that. But yeah, just in general, I think I'd be really interested in like whether there's club posts or part of the coffee or something. Yeah, I'd love to hear more on that. Yeah, that's all I've got, my last thoughts.
Yeah, I'm definitely up for that, Gary. I've popped a note in the chat. It's easy to get stuck in your own bubble and just assume that everyone knows what you're on about, and maybe they don't. So needs more sharing. Happy to be involved in more lean coffees, more chats over it.
Love it, Claire. That's wonderful. And folks can hear from Claire in lesson 2 of the Quality Coaching Essentials course that's coming very soon. So there was a good conversation that Claire and Shweta Jaju had with AJ Wilson that was hosted by Ben Doan. They had a good old debate about the realities of quality coaching models. So that's one to check out, which is, yeah, it's a brilliant conversation between the four of them. So it's so cool. Natalia, any final thoughts? And then Claire, I guess I can come back to you with a final thought. We can go over the hour. It's all good. But yeah, Natalia, please go for it.
I look forward to quality coaching on-demand course. I think I learned so much. Because whatever, I think we will be shifting more to quality coaching with AI and more building out there. And I think it's one of the essential pillar, lead role. It's part of the influence and part of it connecting quality world to business world. And like Gary said, you need to remind me this definition we have about definitions. And I think this is why your coaching skills will help you. No, like you're not directly hired as a quality coach, but I'm sure you do this role as part of your leadership role. The more we have learning resources, I search on Ministry of Testing, that many we can look at, the better we're equipped all influencing and spreading the mindset and scaling either quality or your role or bring yourself up room thinking, and you can do cool stuff, right? Because the team embedded your thinking into their team. So I think, yeah, that's not going anywhere, maybe even more with AI and everything popping up or diverting and guiding into the right direction to have right outcomes.
Thank you, Natalia. And Yeah, connecting it up to Sekulas Angeles. I won't go into the details, just encourage people to take the course. But in lesson one, he has a comparison table of how quality coaching complements software testing. So you've got like two columns, one with quality coaching, one with software testing. And then there's rows based describing like what the focus is, what the approach is, what typical roles there are, what the scope is and the output. And it's just a real snappy way if people just want to dive in and go, well, I'm in the world of software testing. How can I compare it to the world of quality coaching? Where are the subtle differences or how do they complement each other? So it's another one to look out for. Claire, over to you for final thoughts.
Trying to pick one out of the three in my bubbly head. I've said a lot today that it's a relatively new role, but I think I've come in under the assumption that it's understood by everybody, and perhaps that's not the case. It's definitely a take home for me to make sure that I'm talking about it more. And I suppose for any people out there who don't have quality coach in their job title, maybe you're a software tester, quality assurance analyst, something like that. As soon as you step out of, I'm testing this feature, to go and have a conversation, you are starting to be a quality coach. It's really that simple. As soon as you're starting to build relationships and you're starting to come out of your own bubble, you are starting to become a coach. So yeah, look out for more from quality coaches who I will also encourage to share more.
That's such good advice, Claire. Points of building relationships and what that can lead to. Feels very connected to the world of community. And of course, I would say that because I have a bias. Lens is very much on helping folks build relationships and positive ones that support each other in their career. So yes, thank you for sharing, Claire. And thanks to everyone who's joined us today, who's joined us live. Some really good stuff happening in the chat. So thank you to everyone who's participated. And to you, dear listener on the podcast, very grateful for you sticking with us all the way through to the end. Good solid 60 minutes of this week in quality chit chats. Please do keep the conversations coming. Do head over to ministryoftesting.com for all the latest things happening in the Motiverse. And yeah, very excited to hear more from Claire Norman. And of course, always welcome hearing more from Gary Hawkes and yourself, Natalia Burmai. It's been wonderful to co-host with you today, Natalia. And for those looking forward to the weekend, please do have a wonderful time. And we'll speak to you all very soon. Bye for now.